Hello, welcome to this edition of the REIT Report, Nareit's weekly podcast. I'm your host, Alan Kenny, and we're recording this on July 19th, 2017. My guest today is Steadfast Apartment REIT President Ella Shaw Neeland to discuss trends in the multifamily sector. Ella, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me, Alan.
So Steadfast focuses on what would be considered Class B properties, and these are properties that are also, you know, kind of outside the classic fortress markets in the United States. So generally speaking, what makes this specific corner of the real estate world so appealing to you?
Well, first, Alan, I will tell you that when I was in school and I came home with a B on my report card, my mother made it very clear that Bs were not as good as As. So I'll caution you that the way I look at the apartment inventory out there is really sort of luxury apartments, which are the top 20% of the rents in America. And you're right, Steadfast has what I call moderate income apartments, which are really what most of America can afford. And when I say moderate income, it's people making between, say, $45,000 and $75,000, because what you want to look for when you're investing in apartments and living in apartments is a ratio of 3-to-1 on income to housing costs. And unfortunately, in a lot of these markets in the United States today, people are spending more than a third of their income on apartments. So you're right, we do focus on moderate income apartments. And it's interesting, too, because I think there has been an urban myth, for lack of a better term, on where people like to live. And the premise has been people like to live downtown. And when you look at the most recent Census Bureau statistics, they show that more people are moving out of downtown urban core markets into more suburban markets, which are Steadfast-type markets, kind of the inner loop. And I think there's a couple different reasons for that. One is, if you look at sort of historically why people pick apartments, they pick for location. They want to be close to where they work or where they have family. And the second is cost. So that kind of puts the brakes on a lot of people's ability to live downtown. And the other thing I think that's happening, too, is as people are getting married later and having children later, school districts in downtown, public school districts in downtowns don't seem to be as higher quality as in the suburbs. So you see people move out to the suburbs. So we are in the suburb markets. And then I think another kind of urban myth is that, and I've been in the apartment industry for 40 years, and walkability scores have always been kind of important. People like to be able to walk from their apartment to a restaurant or a bar. And I will tell you, Alan, I have three millennials, and I think that social consciousness, I applaud it. But today, with ride sharing and autonomous vehicles, people look at sort of the value proposition of spending, say, $3,000 in an apartment in one of what you refer to, say, as maybe a classic fortress market or a downtown urban core. And they're saying, well, you know, now with Uber and Lyft, and I can Uber downtown. And in fact, I've been at some conferences really recently where they say if you drive less than 10,000 miles a year, it's actually cheaper to ride share than it is to own a car. So I think you're starting to see people move out to more suburban locations. They're not willing to pay the premium for that walkability score. They like the schools. They want a little more space, and it's a more convenient lifestyle. So I think we're starting to see those trends really become extremely more robust.
And you know, we really saw, speaking of trends, a big one in terms of people kind of shifting over to apartment living, following the financial crisis in the mid to late 2000s, when the housing market really kind of collapsed. The multifamily sector, you know, has been on a very strong run since then. But are we reaching a point where maybe that part of the market is topping out?
And a lot of people question that. And I think, Alan, a lot of people question that because historically cycles go where sometimes it's more cost-effective to rent an apartment than it is to own a home. And sort of that housing affordability index that I know when I started out in commercial lending 40 years ago, you always kind of looked at that as to whether it's the time to build or it's the time to buy in certain markets. But I think that what has happened is that you have to look broader over the landscape of how Americans are changing the way they want to live. And I like to look at it in kind of Ella-isms, that it breaks down into lifestyles and paychecks. And both of them are creating incredible desires for people to have the flexibility and the sort of the known quantity associated with apartment living. So what I mean by that is pick paychecks. Paychecks are significantly less post-Great Recession than they were before. A number of jobs have been replaced, but average incomes are about 25%. And in fact, year over year, the most recent information that came out of the jobs report last week or the week before that was that on a really a net effective basis, wage growth has only gone up 1%. So people don't have as much money necessarily to buy a home. They can't do the down payment. And they're, again, really looking at the economics associated with in a house. And that's always been the case. But today, the thing that is even more compelling in that decision-making process is lifestyle. The millennials really enjoy the lifestyle that they can have living in an apartment. Again, back to my three millennials, they would no sooner be mowing the grass or painting a fence or cleaning out a house on a Saturday than they would rather be kayaking on Lady Bird Johnson Lake in Austin, Texas, or going to a coffee shop. So lifestyle has really changed. And it's evidenced by the fact that you're starting to see, again, not just the millennials liking to live in apartments for that convenience, but you're starting to also see unprecedented baby boomers. And I'm a baby boomer, and I can tell you there used to be a stigma associated with living in apartments. And now baby boomers are going, yeah, this is kind of a cool lifestyle. I think I like living in apartments too. And in fact, if you look at over the last 10 years, more than half of the net increase in renter households have come from the 45-plus demographic. So when you think about that, and you think about baby boomers are 75 million, we're living longer, we're living healthier, we like living in apartments. We don't have a lot of the restrictions of apartment living that as you start kind of look at aging in place, a lot of times people didn't live in apartments past a certain age. They'd move into some kind of a facility because they couldn't drive, they couldn't go out to get their groceries. Well, again, that on-demand service economy allows people to age in place in apartments longer. You're starting to see literally not just baby boomers, but sometimes you see silent generation, people in their 70s and 80s living in apartments. And then you go back to the millennials who are still, if you think 75 million millennials, the largest living demographic, a third of those aren't even looking for an apartment yet. So I absolutely believe when you look over that entire spectrum of the 39 million people that live in apartments today, that trend is going to continue. It literally is driven not just by economics, but by the convenience of lifestyle. And the final thing I would say, too, is that the one group of those that you used to see kind of buying homes were the Gen Xers, the young families with children. And today, 41% of Gen Xers cannot qualify for a mortgage. So it kind of reminds me of what Warren Buffett says. Warren Buffett says that the goal of baby boomers used to be to pay off your mortgage, and the goal of millennials today is to get a mortgage. And the other reason I think that demand for housing, apartment housing, is going to continue is because those millennials who have $1.4 trillion of student loan debt that they're not really focusing on today, I'm not sure how many people recognize that student loan debt is not dischargeable in bankruptcy. So there is a hidden huge problem coming for millennials even once they start to decide to buy a home if they haven't been making their student loan payments, and a lot of those are in default. So you look at all those kinds of things, and the final thing I would say is that as somebody that's been in the apartment industry for 40 years, I look at the fact, Alan, that 10,000 renters are going to be born today. So I have an unprecedented demand.
Fair enough. Well, that kind of covers a lot about the pool of renters out there, but what about markets? Are there any particular, you know, geographic markets that you think investors should keep an eye on?
I think a couple things. We've seen a trend of people moving away from the coast. I'm here in Southern California, and you see businesses leaving California because they can't really have access to a employment pool that's cost effective. And then on the flip side, kids that are getting out of school here, they can't afford to live here and they can't find a job. So in fact, I was at a market study not too long ago that said the average age here in Orange County is going up. because people are leaving. So you're starting to see people move from the coast, very prohibitively expensive markets, more to the middle part of the United States, which makes sense. A lot of very regulatory-friendly environments, business-friendly, give tax credits. Some of those states have no state income tax. So you're starting to see that. You're also starting to see, I think, a real increased propensity for people to rent in these high-cost, high-growth markets. Because housing, single-family housing or ownership housing is very expensive. But then, and that's the paycheck style part of my way I view life. And then the other, which is equally important, if not more important, is lifestyle cities, the quality of life. And again, the millennials, they, again, opposed to sort of millennials to the baby boomer generation of me. Someone once said that the baby boomers lived to work, and the millennials work to live. You know, they want to have a balanced lifestyle. So cities like Denver, Austin, Nashville, all those kinds of cities actually attract millennials. One of my three millennials, who had a failure to launch, typical of a lot of millennials, finally she came to me and she said, "Oh, I'm moving to Denver." And I said, "Great, did you find a job?" And she said, "No, but I'm going to move there because it looks like a great city and then I'll find a job." And you have to recognize that mindset. And by the way, she did manage to find a job. Denver has some of the highest job growth in America. But it's a whole, different way of looking at how they want to live. And so I think that companies need to recognize that, whether you're in the apartment industry or whether you're in retail or lodging or office, that the millennials are a huge force of disruption. And disruption, if you recognize it and you understand and you prepare for it, can be really positive. For the apartment industry, that disruption created by the millennials, the fact that they like renting, they rent most things, they rent music, they rent clothes, they rent cars, they like that lifestyle. So recognizing that has been a significant ability to say, what are they looking for, what do they want, and what can we deliver? So again, I think you have to sort of look at the world very differently than you did even 20 years ago about how people are looking to live, and I don't see that changing.
Well, always interesting, Ella. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right, and I enjoyed it very much.
And many thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us as well. For The REIT Report, I'm Alan Kenney.